Welcome to Spaghetti Lunchers, a world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it's up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's special is taverns.
Taverns, where you start every D&D campaign. Where
every single one.
This is mostly a useful tool for people running a D&D, like a TTRPG. D&D like has so many taverns, and they're fun to go into as like a place, as like a social hub, as a place to get quests, that kind of thing. But they're often like, from a flavor perspective, they're so boring. They're the same old fucking tavern. It's like four wooden walls, a fireplace, a bard in the corner singing, and a bartender who knows everything that's happening in town.
That's why in Skyrim, all of the inns and all of the taverns, I never know which one I'm in. And it's so interesting because that is so distinct from the real world, where different
bars are unique.
You know, my brother's a bartender, and he has worked in several different places, and the way he talks about them, it's like, no, this place has a different vibe or a different energy, or the way there is a science to it. There is an art to this.
And I think
same with restaurants too, for the record.
Yeah. And I think from a like world building perspective, the tavern's impact is limited, but you can make it significant. When I was thinking about John Wick and
Hotel Imperium or something
like that, where it's like, this is an interesting world building piece because it's a bar that they all go to, that all the assassins go to like get their contracts, and there's a rule that you can't attack another.
It's a neutral zone.
And that creates a fascinating, it's like the coolest world building in that. I mean, it's an action movie. There's not like world building to be done, but
it is world building because tokens and they have.
Yeah, my point being, in an action movie where they don't really do a lot of world building normally, they manage to get some in with this, and it's really cool, I think.
I do too.
And finding a use for a tavern that is unique adds this world building character to it that is awesome. You can also just make it a fun like set dressing for a moment, but you can make it into like a history thing or whatever. It's usually gonna be like a one-off, but in like the John Wick example, it's like significant, because then like there's like the leaky cauldron in Harry Potter is like interesting set dressing, but it doesn't have a world impact.
Well, it's so depending on the story. So in Japanese anime, there's a branch of anime called isekai, which is a normal person gets transported into a magical world. And that's where the Leaky Cauldron does well, because that is it's a safe place to start learning about the world. That's where we heard about Butterbeer for the first time. That's where we learned, that's where Hagrid taught Harry about Voldemort, right? It is a place for a newcomer to learn about the world and to experience it in a contained space.
That's a perspective, yeah.
Even in Lord of the Rings, right? That's where
when they're at the
Green Dragon.
I was gonna say the Prancing Pony.
The Prancing Pony too.
The Green Dragon's just lovely. The Prancing Pony where they get to have the interesting, like all the moments are playing out, which is, I feel like, where a lot of like the start in a tavern trope also came from, was like they're at the Prancing Pony, and that's where they meet the ranger and they encounter what like the thing that's chasing them.
It's a pivotal moment. But I was the reason I was thinking of the Green Dragon is, you're like, yes, it is lovely, but even there, because you're around people, that's where they hear, you know, there are all these old grumpy hobbits that are like, war's brewing, like keep your nose out of trouble and no trouble will come to you. Well, they stuck to the books with the sacking of the Shire, they learned that wasn't true. But the point stands, that's where it's where people gather is where things happen. That's, I think, the point why taverns are such trouble. I mean, so much so even that in Baldur's Gate, the default name for your character, Tav, the full name is Tavern.
Sure. Or if you're me, am I current? Tavia. Can't accuse me of being a normal ass Tav. When my dark urge was just called Dirge. So,
mine too. Yeah. I just think, but that's also because, you know, like,
I don't want to type a bunch of letters, and who cares?
The white dragonborn with the red eyes, creepy looking, great, love it. Don't need to change. Like, don't improve on perfection. Dirge, great name. Death song. You don't need to. When you do it right, when you do it well,
it's all good.
It's all good.
All right. Do we want to get into our.
You want to come into my tavern?
Yeah, sure. Well, describe it for me first. Give me the advertisement that I would see for your tavern.
Ooh.
Does it serve spaghetti? If not, I'm not going.
Does not serve. Ooh, that spaghetti, terrible bar food. Meatballs though, great bar food.
Yeah. Though I did go to a bar like a month ago, and they were like, the meatballs are great. get them. It was a wine bar, and the meatballs were terrible. And like, that and sucks. The guy was like, "It's the best thing on the menu." And we were like, "Okay." And shit,
that's awful. I'm gonna say Witch's Brew.
Tap the Tree.
Okay, I'm gonna go first.
Yeah,
inspired by our episode on witches. Which
oh my god, you're doing this again.
Be
released. This is like the second episode in a row where you've been like, I'm gonna reference another episode, but I don't know if it's out yet.
I had a couple. I really like the idea. I love a magically enforced neutral space. I do. I think it's really interesting. But like you said, even with John Wick, it's been done, right? And so I want a witch's... This one is purely vibes. Because like you said, there's a science. There's an art to making a good bar or restaurant, right? If you had a place that was run by a hag or a witch, it would be... You know, you talk about creating different vibes within different taverns in a fantasy world. The idea that hags or witches would start running taverns, I think, is interesting, because then you bring in all of the tropes and conversation and elements of witchcraft and haggery that make them interesting, but bring them into... So you have to be very careful about what you order at the bar, mm-hmm. because you might be entering into a deal or a negotiation, right? You have to be very careful about any deals that you make in the bar, because they are governed by magical rules. Maybe it is a forced neutral place where if you take action of violence is done unto you, but maybe there are exceptions to that rule that you have to try and figure out, where not all the rules are set in stone in the same. So that's just sort of the vibes and the storytelling. That's sort of the deeper part of it. For the vibes and the storytelling, though, you could also have a really fun menu where instead of, you know, ale, wine, mead, you could have you could get like, oh yeah, can I get a glass of childhood bliss?
Yeah, it's all magic potions.
It's all magic potions instead of alcohol.
Yeah.
And so you could you have to be really careful if someone sends you a drink.
You don't know what potion it is.
You don't know what potion it is. It might not be deadly. But it could maybe
lock you.
Do they
serve deadly drinks? Do they serve deadly potions at this place?
I don't. That's going to be up to the author or the GM.
I think it's fun as like a GM having this be where each thing you hand the players a little menu,
yeah.
with what the thing is, and then they drink it, and then they get a buff, and yeah. they don't know what the buff's going to be until after they drink it.
I agree.
But they can only get one.
I think
buff.
That's a perfect idea. That's a yeah. perfect example.
Yeah.
And it's even little things. Like, I'm a big fan of the trend of writing on chalkboards outside of bars and cities.
I hate chalkboards so much.
I only like them when they're in the... My favorite is the inside cold beer. What's in that direction? I don't know. Bears better not risk it.
That's funny.
I like that. But imagining if it was a hag doing it and they wrote, I don't know, maybe bears. It's like, you would have to stop and think...
There might be a bear.
There might actually be a bear. There's a not. It's officially. It's not a joke. There is a non-zero chance that they have summoned a magical bear and put it there to send you back to become a patron of their tavern.
Two things. One, just to clarify, I'm fine with chalkboards. I just don't like writing on them, and I hate the sound of them being written on.
That's perfectly reasonable. Nails on a chalkboard's a trope for a reason.
Yeah. Two, I love the bear thing. But I don't want it to be magical. I want it that they have captured a bear and have chained it. So it's like, if you keep walking, you can see the chained up bear who like their chain is just long enough to get to the end of the sidewalk. Right. So like, if you are walking, it can attack you. Yeah. And just like that level of chaotic neutral,
yeah.
That you should come back. And, yeah. and they're warning you, there is a bear ahead. Or like they just put aside this warning, bear ahead. Beard this way,
right?
Like, better come in here, you know that. Or what if it's like, if you as you approach this place, it starts to like a huge storm is above you.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
But it's an artificial storm; it doesn't actually exist. Mm-hmm. It's just to try to convince you should go inside right now,
right?
Because it's about to like lightning is about to strike.
Warm and cozy drinks though, yeah. in here.
But then if you keep walking, you you're back in clear skies and you're like, oh, what the fuck? That
right.
just exists as like an illusion right here.
Yeah,
the manipulation of like the capitalist hag.
Absolutely. That's exactly what this is. And it's because it's fun, because it's highs and lows, right? It's sort of a, you're combining something very light and funny and set dressing-y, you know, like the, you know, whatever pithy dialogue that someone might write on a chalkboard suddenly becomes real. That's a very funny, it's like, oh, work, emails, that sort of thing. If you keep walking, then yeah, there's going to be a goblin that shows up and makes you do a lot of paperwork before you're allowed to continue on your adventure. Uh-huh. And, you know, like you only order magic potions, and there's, you know, so you get an unknown buff. This is all very lighthearted stuff, but it's also an opportunity for very deep, magically consequential things to be discussed and shown from your world. Uh-huh. Where you can say, oh, you started a fight in a bar. You broke a rule. You didn't even know it was a rule, but you broke a deep rule.
And now what happens?
Something.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's intense.
I don't know.
Something with plasma.
But yeah, so the capitalist tag is, the TLDR is the capitalist tag.
Yeah.
That should have been my words.
Yes, probably.
I didn't get there in time.
Which is Bruce also, you know, because it's getting to, that's the nature of this podcast, is that we discover ideas as we talk about exactly. them, because that's how world building works, because you don't, your first
sometimes
idea
is... Sometimes the bear is there, not chained up. Sometimes you do just find the bear there.
Well, I was gonna say more of like, food is not cooked when you put it in the oven. It's
yes,
cooked after you remove it from the oven.
Oh, that's lovely.
So we prepare our ideas to put them in the oven, and then this podcast is the oven.
You mean we prepare the noodles and put them in the water?
Yeah, that's a better analogy. I should be on theme. Apologies to everybody. I will seppuku myself now for this terrible fuck up. Please, hags, punish me.
Hag mommy.
Oh my god. No. Podcast over. Friendship over. Get out. Yeah, I think it's cool. I like it.
What have you got?
I love the idea of a tavern that is not simply four walls, as I think I alluded to in the intro. Mm-hmm. My tavern is called the Treehouse. I'm naming it. And you enter it, and it is, I don't know if it even has walls. It might just be an open space. But the crucial element is, at the center is a sizable tree, like a weirwood tree from Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, whatever, Song of Ice and Fire. But a tree that has taps all over it.
Hmm.
And the tree is not like a normal looking tree. It is like a strange magical tree.
Hmm.
And each of the taps is a different liquid. Hmm. And you go there to drink from this tree, to get beverages from this tree. And the mechanics of it, I'm not quite sure. A lot of this is the vibes of it all.
Yeah.
But it's like, you could either have it be that like the proprietors of the bar have like mixed liquor with the tree, so you kind of get this like sap plus whiskey. This is what, like, it's a tap, like you know, when you're like a draft cocktail, like you get a draft cocktail of this, or this branch has this draft cocktail, or it can be that you're drinking literally, this tree is drawing liquid from the ground, from the earth, and you are drinking spring water from halfway across the world because it's able to pull that through magic.
You're drinking magma from the core if you're able to.
Yeah, like it is able to pull magically from anywhere in the world. Yeah. There's an oasis in a desert, you know, 4,000 miles away, and you can drink from it right now. Or there is...
tea from your grandmother's kettle.
No.
Not that specific?
Not that specific. Okay. It's not that kind of magic. It's more of this like natural magic. It's not manipulating or like tricking you into thinking it's a thing like the hags are. It is literally, you're drinking this thing is otherwise like so unobtainable. So I'm keeping it like into like a nature thing. Like you're pulling from the earth because this tree's tapped into the earth, and it's a powerful old tree that can grab it from
anywhere.
Big ass tree. And then like having it be that it's like a it's a super tall tree, so it's a multi-story. Now we're inside. It's like a multi-story building, and each level has like different bars that tap on different. They have different taps on the tree.
I love it.
And they all serve different drinks. You have to like you get to kind of like wander around the building and go to different bartenders, different places who are tapping different parts of the tree, and then you get up to like the top where it's like the branches are fully sprawling out, and then it has like different leaves for, because it's representing different trees of the world. It's, it has, I love it. It has different elements of nature. I think
this is so cool. You could, and you could, because you're dealing with different trees of the world, you could also, it maybe it's not even just taps and, but you're they have maple syrup. I'm not kidding. Yeah, yeah. They have maple syrup from all, it's not just drinkable cocktails. It's like you, anything it, that you can
make. You're tapping into a tree.
Right.
Like you are tapping into a cinnamon tree, and this is literally just like you pull the tap and it just spits out like a like fresh cinnamon bark.
Right. Or like you pull this and it's freshly squeezed
lemon juice.
Yeah. Like, or I was thinking mango juice, but it's like from a mango tree. Like, and it's like this is the essence of juice from every mango tree in the world.
Yes.
Because it is literally pulling from every mango tree at the same time.
And then you can pull one tap that's pulling. It has every potato.
Yeah.
Like where it's...
Well, potatoes don't grow on trees.
It's not a tree. It's pulling from the earth.
I see. Magma's, I misunderstood.
Magma famously also not a tree.
You do not know that.
but it's like... It's raw vodka that it's like...
That's cool.
This tree has taken potatoes from around the world and has... been fermenting them in the roots for like years, and now it is pulling raw vodka that's been made here, and then it pulls and then it says, oh, I'll mix it with mango, and they go up to the next level where there's a tap for the mango tree, and then it's like, here's a mango vodka.
So two things. One, it has to be said, the implications for tea are huge. Like, you could get tea, freshly hot brewed tea, from any plant in existence. And I think that's very cool.
Okay.
Number two, keeping with the wood theme of it, I think that all of the drinks that you can make from it, every tap, every drink, every combination, the bartenders are effectively, they're all fairies that are just flying around or like fairy little winged Tinkerbell wood spirits flying around, getting at all of these taps, making the drinks for
them. Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. It's just a vibes thing.
They are like, I was gonna say they're like barbacks in a way where it's like where you have fairies doing it, but then you also have like human sized bartenders, like like elven bartenders or something. I don't know. Like, you could make this also like a druids manage this tree. This is a druid conclave that does this as like a educational thing to let people know that the world provides all these things, and hey, you don't know what exists halfway around the world, but like, this is a fruit that they have over there. Imagine it. Like, do you want to go find it? And like, it's like an encouraging people to go travel the world, and which makes it a good place to start an adventure, because they're there. Some adventurers try mango juice and go, oh my God, I need that. Can we go get that? And then the hook for the adventure is people deciding they really want to taste a fresh mango.
Beautiful. I love it. I love the innocence of that idea. Yeah. I also am thinking you do meet at a tavern, but you are summoned to the tavern by the druid, because they know that there is one plant, one very rare plant, and there is one left, and they need the seeds from it to make sure that it doesn't die and they can keep it going. And you are sent to go. All you have to do is find the seeds and bring them back.
That's a cool hook too. Yeah.
They're different campaigns. They're different, but they're both.
They don't have to be.
But they're very cool.
I think the like, I want to go taste a fresh mango is what a really good RPer would do in that moment, where they would say, I'm in for this adventure because I want to go taste this thing that I just tried. Whatever. But like, for everybody else, it's a great like, here, go get these seeds for preservation, and I'll pay you, or like you can drink for free for life from this bar.
It would be a great, bring it full circle to back to our mega structures, not just our big ass tree episode, but our mega structures episode. This would be a great bar to exist in Arborea.
No.
Oh, it's your idea. I can't say no.
I think that's the idea. I don't know that I have any more on it.
No,
I don't know. I don't think it needs any more.
I think everything else you can, it's set dressing. You can play with it. It's vibes. Like, do you want, you can have ant barbacks and fairy bartenders.
The tree could be an ant.
It could. Well, it could.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I want that, like, we're tapping into this guy's body.
But you could if you wanted
to. Ding. Frozen lasagna. Go.
I'm a little mad at you because you, at the very end there, just said, what if we're tapping into an ant? And that was kind of my microwave idea. It's one of two. You can sort of take it either way. One, these are explicitly evil. These are evil bars. These are evil taverns. One is the taps are into a living being, into a giant. But so, like, you can come and you can drink their blood, their their spinal fluid, their all of these things.
Like,
it's
good.
Super fucked up. The other one, a little bit different, but related, and it's sort of the same idea. It's a vampire bar, and the walls are lined with basically preserved bodies. Unconscious bodies.
Love it.
And so you can go and pick. I want this guy. I want that guy. I want the
fucking
other guy.
Good. Yeah, that's great. Love it.
Ding.
Going similar to, like, the invulnerability, the, like, this is a safe zone type of thing.
Yeah,
you walk into the bar and any metal that you have is pulled down because they have a giant magnet on the floor. So no weapons can be drawn, and like, people, like, it's telling people, chill the fuck out. We will not allow you to do things. If you want to have a fist fight, you can, but at least that's less likely to be deadly. So yeah,
it'd be funny if, as it was pulling all the metal away, it also announced who you were, sort of like Norm coming into Cheers.
Yeah, so like, so that everybody knows.
Velkar the wizard. It's like, well, there's no hiding here. So everybody knows that Velkar's here.
It's really reducing violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that.
That's awesome. What stuck for you?
I love my idea.
Your idea is very cool.
I think getting into the, like, it pulls from different parts of, from different plants around the world, makes it so good.
Yeah.
And then it really just sticking the landing with those two plot hooks are great.
Yeah.
Where, like, I legitimately might just use that one day.
They're both great.
As a bar in a game and plot hooks, because they're fun, different plot hooks that spin the tavern thing to make the tavern actually relevant.
Yeah.
To the plot.
Not just you all happen to be there and then there's a random ogre attack.
You are just a group of friends at the bar that you frequent.
Mm-hmm.
You're there all the time. This isn't special. I don't need to introduce it to you.
Right.
And the bartender who's the druid is like, hey, go do this thing. And
like, I'm out of this. Can you go? Or you order something different. You try the mango juice. Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, like, I think having you do that, or just like the place you go midway through a game and you realize how big the world is.
Yep.
If you think the world is just, you know, in like a D&D game, it's like, well, the area that you're in is the world. It's a small region. And then you go to this bar in the big city and you learn, oh my God, there's that much out there?
Yeah.
Holy hell, we've not seen anything. We got to go. We got to adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really fucking love it.
I think it's great.
Also, shout out to the bear. The bear on the chain, not the TV show.
Yeah.
The bear on the chain is really fun.
The bear on the chain is great. That idea specifically, it's like, what if all the shit that the funny puns that you wrote became real and became real threats?
Yeah.
I think that's really fun. What stuck for me, big picture, what stuck for me was the chaotic neutral idea, like nature of the hag bar.
Oh, yeah.
Is just, what weird, funny stuff can you come up with? It's a great vehicle for it.
Yeah.
Mechanically, for the world building, the way for it to be a place to discover what are the rules of magic? What are the rules of this reality that you can stumble into? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go and you do introduce yourself to the bartender and you give your real name and suddenly they start messing with you a couple sessions down the line, or they suddenly call you back and call in a favor. Like,
interesting.
Yes, yeah. I paid you in gold. Well, that's not...
All of a sudden you have a warlock patron and you're like, wait, what?
I didn't mean to do this.
Like, the DM just hands you a warlock sheet and just says, you're now a warlock. And you're like, what? Why? What did I do?
It's a great, that is my favorite. That is my favorite part of it. But even just the fun of it, like you said, being able to come up with a list of cocktails for the player to order from, and they all have secret boons. I think that sounds like something our dear friend Chris would have a great time homebrewing.
So do that, Chris.
Well,
that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening, and do come back again.